I dreamed about the creatures he had encountered there. Were they the Rakshasas and Nagas of myth? Did they have anything to do with the shadows? Or with the men who evidently created the shadows from hapless prisoners of war? Chapter 28. I have a bad feeling about this, I told Sarah, as she and Tobo and I started the long walk. You're sure the shadows are off the streets? Quit fussing, Sleepy. You're turning into an old woman. The streets are safe. The only monsters out here are human. We can handle those. You'll be safe in the palace. If you just stick to your character, Tobo will be safe as long as he remembers that he's not really Shikandini, and desperate for his mother to keep her job. It's in the nature of men like Jal Barundandi that they do their bullying inside your head, not physically. They'll take no for an answer, and I won't lose my job over it. My work is being noticed by others, especially by Barundandi's wife. Now, get yourself into character. Tobo, you too. You particularly. I know Sleepy can do this when she concentrates on it. Tobo was clad as a budding young woman, Mean Subradil's daughter, and I hoped we could get him back inside the warehouse unnoticed by Goblin and One Eye, because they would ride him mercilessly. With the investment of a little artifice on his mother's part, Tobo made a very attractive young woman. Jal Barundandi thought so too. Mean Subradil was the first worker called forward, and Barundandi never bothered with his customary grumble about taking Sawa as part of the package. Sawa had trouble keeping a straight face later when we found Barundandi's wife, Narita, waiting to pick women to work for her. One glance at Shiki was enough. Mean Subradil's family definitely belonged under her direct supervision. Mean Subradil had done a good job of ingratiating herself with Narita, for the very good reason that Narita was in charge of cleaning those parts of the palace of most immediate interest to us. Sawa had not worked for Narita in the past. Subradil explained Sawa to Narita, who seemed more patient than she had the few times I had seen her before. Narita said,
I understand. There's plenty of simple things that need doing. The Radisha was particularly restless last night. These days, when she has trouble sleeping, she breaks things and makes messes.
The woman actually sounded sympathetic. But the Taglian people loved their ruling family and seemed to feel that they deserved more room than the man on the street. Perhaps because of the burdens they bore, always in the past with maximum respect for Rajadharma. Subradil maneuvered me into a spot whence I could observe well without being noticed. She and Narita brought me several brass treasures that needed cleaning. The ruling family had to be very fond of brass. Sawa cleaned tons of it, but Sawa could be trusted not to damage anything. Shiki came to me and asked,
Will you take care of my flute for me, Aunt Sawa?
I took the instrument, studied it briefly, pasted on an idiot grin, and tooted on the thing a few times, just so everybody would know it was a real flute and not imagine that it might be a small fireball thrower, capable of making life both brief and painful for the first half-dozen people who got too close to a flautist in a bad temper. Barundandi's wife asked Shiki,
You play the flute?
Yes, ma'am.